As we were worshiping, the Lord brought my attention to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And in that chapter, you'll recall that that's the chapter that deals with the seasons. There's a time for everything. And what it says is, beginning in verse 1, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace.
Amen.
And as we think about those things, we realize that there is a time for everything.
Yes.
And today there's a time to do something as well. Over the last number of weeks, we've been teaching and preaching and talking about Romans chapter 12, the motivational gifts. And there's a time to do that. And then there's a time to embrace what you've learned and what the scriptures say. And then there's a time to do. And I believe that today is a day where we're going to devote our time this morning to activating, if you will, that which we already have, that which we already possess, but have always been afraid to release. And I believe this is a time to release. Amen?
Amen.
This is a time to release. What we've been talking about is learning how to recognize how our soul loves. Each one of you has a unique combination, if you will, of gifts that God has given you that are described in Romans chapter 12. And we'll, if you take out your bulletins right now, you turn over to the back side, to the note side, and you'll see seven motivational gifts. And we did something like this last week, but I want us to do it again this week. If you don't have a bulletin, how many people don't have a bulletin right now? Okay, we have, one of our elders doesn't have a bulletin. Amen. If you don't have a bulletin, just raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one because we want you to participate in this. You know, there's a time to listen. There's a time to watch. There's a time to be a spectator. Then there's a time to say, I'm in. And so what we see are seven motivational gifts. You see them there. We've defined them over the last number of weeks, and if you've missed any of those weeks, I encourage you to just go to the website and pull down some of those messages. But what we discover is that there are seven gifts that are described. And these are the gifts that God has put inside of you even before you were born again. These are the gifts that when God created you, He said, I'm going to need some people who are prophetic. I'm going to need some people who are teachers. I'm going to need people who are leaders. I'm going to need people who are merciful and compassionate. Because when they come to me, I'm going to use them as instruments in my church. And the church we understand to mean the body of Christ, His body. Jesus is the head. We are His body. Every one of us has a different function, a different place. But it's only when we work together, releasing that which God had already planned ahead to release in us, that the church comes to its fullness. And so as you look at those seven, and again, you may have done this last week. I asked you to do this, to think about this, to pray about it. What I'd like you to do right now is to mark off, you know, come on, no looking off of someone else's paper. I want you to just mark off what you believe you have in terms of your character, your nature, your personality, if you will. And you may have more than one. You know, there's no rule that says you can only have one gift. God is He lavishes his gifts upon us. Amen. And I doubt if there's a case where any one person is just one of these things. But you're probably a combination of them. And so if you would do that, just check it off. It may be one, it may be two, it may be three, just help me with that. Just do that. And then we're going to do some things with that in just a few moments. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody with me? Shouldn't take that long. You've been praying about this, thinking about this, meditating on this, I pray, over the last number of weeks. Okay, so just keep that to the side for a few moments. And realize, again, that prophetic one is always a challenging one to understand. That just simply means you're spiritually minded. You are aware of spiritual things. You are connected to spiritual things. It's those things that interest you. You may be a minister. Don't think of it as a title, like a pastor or an apostle or a deacon. But a deacon would fit in here. But a minister is a person who is a helper, a server. You just love to come alongside people. You see someone in need, you want to do. You go to a party, you're the person that is in the kitchen helping out. You know, you're the person that's setting up the chairs and putting them down. And you just love to participate and to help. Some of you are called to be teachers. You just have a joy in sharing what you know, sharing what you've learned with others around you. Some of you are exhorters. You just love to encourage. You love to build up. You're the person that sends text messages to people out of the blue and say things to encourage them. You're the one that sends cards. You're the ones that sends notes because you want to encourage others. Some of you are givers, and that's more than just financial giving, but that's that gift of hospitality. You find out someone has a need, you want to take from your own home and give it to them. Some of you are leaders. You're the take charge people. As a matter of fact, there's someone in the church that has an email address, and it's Ms. Take Charge. I think that's what it's called, right? Am I right, Rob? Is that Miss in Charge? So you know who you are. You know, you may not think of yourself as a leader, but you know that when there's a group of people together and something needs to be done, you're the one that has the vision. You're the one that sees how it's to be done. You're the one that is able to divide up the task and assign the right people to them. A key to being a leader, of course, is that people follow. You can't be a leader if nobody wants to follow you. That's not being a leader. And then finally, you may have the gift of mercy. You have compassion and empathy. You can relate to others. Perhaps you've experienced a lot of pain in your life and you've wondered why did I have to go through these things? Well, God may have allowed you to go through these things so that you might be able to relate to and give answers to and give guidance to others who are going through very similar situations. Amen? And so these are the kinds of people that God needs in the church. And so when we put that down, I just encourage you to just write that down. And here's a scripture that I want to bring to your attention. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Have you got that up there? Can you put that up there, please? Habakkuk chapter 2. Verse 14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. I've heard a lot of interpretations and translations of that. And I'll tell you what, I believe that the glory of the Lord, and I believe this with everything in my heart, is the church. I believe the glory of the Lord is the church. Let me say that again. I'm not necessarily talking about reach out, reach out church, but I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. That represents the glory of the Lord. Some of us are still looking for the Shekinah glory that was in the Old Testament. Some of us are looking for the cloud. You know, the glory of the Lord is in His church. And it's when the body of Christ rises up and begins to move in the gifts that God has imparted, has instilled in us from our birth, as well as released release the gifts, which we haven't talked about yet, which are imparted by the Holy Spirit, that's when the glory of the Lord will cover the face of the earth. That's when everyone will get to know the wonderful Savior that we have. You know, it's not the mega ministries that will do it, but it is the people of God as they simply be who they are and not ashamed of who they are, and use that gift inside of them in order to glorify and praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. See, you've all got something. As I said a week or two ago, you know, we tend to look at others and we want what they have. The Apostle Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. I mean, there are things that we can learn from one another, but the important thing is that we are okay with us. Amen. Come on, can you say that? You know, that we're okay with who God has made us to be.
Amen.
Because it's when we move in that, and that the love of God is shed abroad. That's what love is.
Yes.
You know, it's not being who you're not. It's allowing who God made you to be, release that gift, whether it's mercy, leadership, teaching, exhortation, whatever it might be. That's love. That's love. When you give it away, when you give yourself away. Because there's a capacity in God that if you will give away what He has given you, not only will it bless others, but it will return back to Him, and He will be glorified. Amen? What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick look at a video. I think will touch your heart, but I don't want you. It's not just simply about, you know, we don't pick these simply, this is a tearjerker, you know, this is going to make people cry. No, well, there's a message in it that we can embrace. Amen? And so if we could start that video, pay close attention.
May I have this?
No. You get something special for Grandpa. I'm sorry. Can I return the cake, please?
Sure, yes.
I want the cake, please. I won't ask for anything else.
Next time, okay? When we can afford it?
Last time you said that.
You don't want this? I'll take it back.
Hey.
Hello. This is for you.
I know we cannot accept it.
Would you please?
There's no reason for you to buy the cake for us.
Well, when I was 7, my mother wanted to buy me a cake.
Mommy, I have this one.
By the counter, we didn't have enough.
Get something else.
It's my birthday today. Can I choose my own cake, please?
I'm sorry.
Then, there's this man. I've never met him before.
Here, have the cake. Happy birthday.
I didn't know his name. I never got a chance to say thank you. I've never forgotten about him, the man in the queue.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Can I have your contact number? Let me repay you when we have the money.
Promise me something, okay? Someday, when you're able to help somebody, you will do it?
May I know your name, mister?
Well, I'm the man in the queue.
Wow, this is my favorite. Thank you.
Let's go and put some candles.
Oh, careful. You shouldn't have spent the money.
Actually, I came and paid for it.
He gave me this note.
Please write down your address. I'll bring the money back to you later.
Simple act of caring creates an endless ripple.
That comes back to you.
Before you run to ShopRite, waiting in line to buy a cake for someone, you need to realize that what this really has to do with is about the gift that you have. Not everyone has the gift of giving in that sense, but everyone has a gift or multiple gifts that they can begin to exercise and begin to release to touch this world. Amen?
Amen.
You are God's gift. And I want to read a story to you. And have people touched by that. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
But you know, it's more important to be activated than sometimes to just simply be touched by an emotion. Emotions come, emotions go. But how important it is for us to stand on the Word of God and release that which God has given us. But there's a story in Exodus chapter 16. I want to just read to you several of the verses. And you may remember that during this period of time, the Israelites were traveling in the wilderness. Moses was leading them. And when they left Egypt, they left with only what they could carry. And as they traveled, there eventually came a time when they ran out of food, they ran out of water, they ran out of provisions of all kinds. And in this section of Exodus, it shows how God provided for them. And one of the things that God provided was something that they could eat every single day, something that they called manna. And so if we look at verse 13, And the scriptures say, so it was that quails came up at the evening and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. So God provided quail, meat, and God provided something else, as we'll see in a second. And verse 14 says, and when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So that when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. And so what we understand is that manna would be very similar to our present day, I guess, flour or wheat, and they would be able to make and bake and do a variety of things and have sustenance and have food. But this manna was very interesting in that in verse 16 it says, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer," which is a particular volume, "for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent." And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less, depending on the size of their family. And so God provided for a day. God provided for a day. And I want to jump now to verse 19. "And Moses said, let no one leave any of it until morning," meaning whatever you collect, you bake it, you make it, you eat it. Don't leave anything. Verse 20. "Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until the morning." In other words, they thought, well, we're going to store it up. You know, I'm not, you know, maybe God's not going to provide for me tomorrow. I need to store this up. And how many people, you know people like that, you know, or would even admit to me that would be the way we think, you know. Do we have any preppers here? I believe in getting ready. I believe in having a pantry. I believe in preparing. But we also have to trust in the Lord. Amen? We have to put our faith in Him. And so it says, "Notwithstanding," let me read that again. "They did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning. And listen to what happens. It bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them." Amen? Because they didn't trust the Lord. That which was meant to build them up rotted, bred worms. Now, you may have a difficulty in stretching this to what we're talking about today, but I'll tell you what, if you do not use the gifts that God has given to you, it's going to stink. Now, it may not stink in a physical way, but the thing is, God created you for a person. I mean, for a purpose. And God created you a certain way that you might release it and touch others all around you. Amen? You know, my wife has an expression. You know, sometimes we've noticed that sometimes when you know, there are some older people that we know in our lives, and they're mean. Ever notice that? Sometimes old people, you know, that sometimes they can be mean. Well, what we've learned is that people don't become mean as they get older. They just simply get older. Correct. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You know, it's there all the time. It's just that it doesn't become really evident. And what does that meanness mean? Meanness in the sense that you know, I'm going to hang on to what I have and I'm not going to share with anybody. I'm not going to share with anyone. God shared His Son, who gave everything so that whomever would believe upon Him would have everything. Amen? And so this morning, you know, we could look at some other scriptures to accent that, and I won't. But this morning, we're going to receive communion. And what I would like to do is, we're going to do things a little bit differently this morning, is I would like to have those that are going to prepare communion, if you would come forward now, and sort of get the communion elements ready. And we're going to have you stay up front. You know, we talked about this morning as being a time of activation. That sometimes that means you have to get up off your butts. Amen? And I mean that, and I'm saying that with love. And so, as we prepare to receive communion this morning, I want you to know that everyone is invited to receive communion. I know in certain churches you have to be a member before you can receive communion. In certain churches they have other rules and regulations about communion. But in our church, we believe that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are in His church. Amen? You are part of the body of Christ. And so we encourage you to participate in communion with us. What I'd like you to do is that when you come up to receive your communion, that you bring your bulletin with you. Amen? You can handle this. Just bring your bulletin with you. And we're going to do something with the bulletins in just a few moments. But if you would stand with me now. Hallelujah. First, let me tell you, I am so thankful that you came out in the snow.
Amen.
You didn't allow the snow to intimidate you. I know some of you travel quite a distance. And so, God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. I travel quite a ways myself. Some of you, many of you know where I live, about a mile and a third away. So, praise God. Amen. So, what are we going to do this morning? Again, I invite you. I know some of you may not be used to actually getting involved and participating in something, but I encourage you to just, in just a second, when I give you the word, to just begin to come forward and receive the communion elements. Don't take them, but let us take it all together. Amen? That's what communion is about. Communion is about fellowship. Fellowship vertically with God and fellowship horizontally with one another. And so what we want to do, thank you, is do this together as the body of Christ. Amen? And so please feel free to come forward and receive the communion elements.
Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Let your mighty wisdom come and drown out every other noise. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. All we want to hear is your voice. We are listening.
No, please stay up here. Please stay up here. Yeah.
We are listening.
Hanging on your every word.
Hanging on your every word. Words of life are yours alone. Leaving all the world behind. Waiting here before your throne. Speak, Lord.
We are listening.
Lord, we ask you to speak to us this morning. As we gather together to take communion together, that you would speak to us individually and speak into our hearts. And Lord, we are reminded, you've called us to remember you when we take communion. Because it was on that last night of the Passover, on the night that you were betrayed, that you took the bread as you sat with your disciples. But you took the bread, you broke it, and you said to your disciples, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which was broken for you." And so let us take it together. And then in the same manner, you picked up the cup off the table. And you held it out to your disciples and you said, "Take, drink. For this is my blood, which was shed for the new covenant. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take it together. Lord God, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for what you suffered in our place. And Lord, we just commit this morning to not let anything hold us back from who you've called us to be. You gave it all. Lord, teach us and help us as individuals to give our all to those, not only to you, but to give it to those that are around us. And this we recognize that we cannot do in our own strength, but only as we put our trust in you. Then we are empowered by your Holy Spirit. And so we thank you for this communion, this time of fellowship, not only with you, but with each other as well. The Apostle Paul, when he began to send letters to Timothy, he was mentoring Timothy, a young man. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, he says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership." And so we understand that what the eldership did was to lay hands upon men and women. And as they received the word from the Lord, they shared it. They weren't the ones who imparted the gift. God imparts gifts. But they were the ones that called it out so that it would be more recognized. They were the ones that set their agreement to what the Spirit of the Lord was saying. And then he writes again in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. "Therefore, I remind you, Timothy, to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Here we go. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." My experience is that when I'm afraid to move in what I believe God has called me to do or called me to be, it's fear that holds me back. It's you know, I tried once and I got shot down. You know, I let my guard down and I was hurt. Jesus let his guard down. and he was crucified. I know you can say to yourself, well, I'm not Jesus. Well, that's true. None of us are. But we are called to be living sacrifices. We are called to not quit. We are called to not give up. We are called when we're knocked down, when we're bruised, when we're wounded, to get up again. Because we've been given not a spirit of fear. When that spirit of fear comes upon you, you rebuke it in the name of Jesus because you know where it comes from. It's the devil himself just using situations and circumstances in your past to prevent you from going into and claiming what is rightfully yours. And so what we're going to do now, just before we go back to our seats, is we have elders here. So Chris and Robin, would you come forward? And where's Tom and Mary? Tom and Mary are right there. Carl and Sandra, maybe you can go over on this side. Where's Dee? You know, I'm an elder of the church too, so I want you to come over here as well. And the word elder just simply means old. Old leaders in the church. Oh, I didn't realize I was... No, I did not mean my wife. I meant everyone else, but not my wife.
They all know that.
But in all seriousness, it's just... Here's what we want to do. Where did Carl... Yeah, Carl and Sandra, why don't you come over? Yeah, just don't... Just go ahead. Yeah. You made a statement, hopefully, on your piece of paper. Some of you are already walking in it. You don't have any problem with it. You know who you are. You're excited about who you are. And you want to just broadcast yourself all over the place. That's wonderful. But then there are some of you who are still struggling. You know, you see things that are in you, but yet you've been afraid to just let it out for whatever reason. Well, I've asked the eldership to be here to lay hands on you and to agree with you and to agree with what you have written or checked off on your list. Amen. And so if you would like to have prayer right now, I just encourage you to just take a step forward and say, yeah, I want prayer for this. I want prayer. You know, this, you know, these last number of weeks has shown me things about myself and maybe I never saw it there before. But I want a release. Remember, we listen, we learn, we agree with, but then as it comes a time to just release it. Just release. And so please, take another step forward. I know quite a few have taken a step. Just taking one more step forward. Just if we could form a little line. Now, the rest of you that have not taken a step forward, here's what I want you to do. I want you to agree with these people that have taken a step. I want you to stand with them. Amen? Can you stand with them? I want you to get behind them. You know, there may be certain people that you know that you just feel a spiritual attraction to. And so I would just ask you to come and just... And what we're going to do is we're going to take a minute and we're just going to pray. Amen? We're going to pray for you individually. We're going to lay hands on you. And we're going to do it in a scriptural way. We're going to lay hands on your head. You know, we're not going to pull back. But we're just going to release what God has placed in you by the authority that we have as elders in the church. It's not because we're great, but it's because God is great. Amen? And so let's continue and praise and worship team. We could maybe do that song again, or maybe you've got something else, okay? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, and anybody up and behind me, you know, if you want to come forward and you want prayer as well, please come. Yeah. Okay. Amen. Let's just take a few moments and pray.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, let's just begin to pray.